This was Parangoski's world. The call on who to save and who to sacrifice for the greater good. Maybe this really was a test, then, or perhaps a blooding to initiate Osman in the messy decisions involving personnel she knew and liked, not the distant strategic stuff where the dead would be strangers. Osman took a slow walk around the ship's deserted passages to give Naomi and the ODST some space. When she checked her datapad to see where everyone was, Devereaux's trace showed up on the hangar deck with Tarkkart, and Naomi was in the armor bay, the automated system that she needed to suit up in her Mjolnir rig. Vaz and Mal were in the wardroom.
"Bibi," Osman said, "I'm not asking you to snoop on them, but are the lads all right?"
The AI's voice came out of the ship's broadcast system.
"They had a little tiff over who to tell first about Naomi's dad. You or her? I think they're shaking hands and making up now."
Good. She wasn't alone in finding some decisions too close to home to be done by the book, then.
I ought to be giving that some attention.
First things first.
I'm just starting a survey run, by the way. We'll swing around Sangelios, map the surface down to a 2-meter scale, and see what else I can pick up. If this is small-scale fighting, it might take us a day or two to scan the whole surface, so I'm starting with the Ontom region.
Agreed. Osman headed back to the bridge and sat with her boots up on a chair, watching the three-dimensional plot of Sangelios on the chart table growing a line at a time, like a garment being knitted. There were more islands than she'd realized, and far less landmass.
"Ontom," Bibi said, not appearing anywhere.
Osman still looked up to the nearest deckhead speaker.
"I'm doing a detailed job on it, but even extended frequency mapping isn't penetrating the temple."
"Does that mean it's a hardened target?
With the Forerunners, who knows?"
It must have been 2 hours before Mal came up to the bridge, put a cup of coffee on the console in front of her without saying a word, and stood staring at the plot.
"Thanks, Staff," she said, sipping the coffee. "Your turn next, Mom."
He didn't take his eyes off the plot, gaze flicking from detail to detail. He was probably modifying the insertion on the fly. Maybe Phillips would just pop up again with a story to tell about just losing radio contact, as people sometimes did, and it would all be sorted. But he's had plenty of time to do that.
"Captain,"
Bibi appeared in front of her,
"life just got a little easier. The Arbiter says yes. We can land a squad. Usual drill. An escort will pick up the dropship and take us in."
"Alle bleedin' Luya," Mal muttered. "Let's get this over with."
Temple of the Abiding Truth, Ontom, Sangelios. Phillips shook the radio cam like a cheap watch.
"Bibi, I'm on my own, so you can drop the sorry Dave, I can't do that crap. But keep the volume down, okay?"
He kept his voice at a whisper, and waited for Bibi to snap back with something suitably withering. But there was just a long pause. The Bibi who responded wasn't the one he knew.
"Can I help you, Professor Phillips?"
"Are you trying to be funny, or is something wrong?"
"Owing to tampering and damage, some of my functions have been disabled or deleted."
"Oh, shit."
Just as Bibi was standing by to shove a needle into Phillips in case the mission went badly wrong, he must have had fail-safes of his own to stop his programming falling into enemy hands.
"I should have realized that. I should have asked more questions, but I was too pumped on adrenaline."
Phillips's attempted repair had been interpreted as trying to dismantle the radio cam's case.
"I'm sorry. I was only digging shrapnel out of the radio. I didn't think. Look, Bibi, I'm in a tight spot. Do you remember the explosion?"
"I shut down after damage to my host device."
"Well, right now I'm screwed. Really screwed."
"Oh, stay calm. Just think.
Telcam's started the coup early, and he's effectively holding me hostage."
"I understand. I remember who Telcam is, but not why you're in touch with him."
Just tell me what you can still do. Can you send a signal?
My encryption's been deleted for security. My positioning data tells me we're on Sangelius, which is still classed as potentially hostile by the Office of Naval Intelligence.
Try calling Port Stanley, please.
Oni PS-39 accepts only encrypted communication. I can transmit in open protocol on domestic frequencies compatible with this device, though.
Great. Just terrific. So you're just a damn phone now. How about getting into other systems? Can you still hack?
I can assist you with productivity management, non-classified information, and data processing. What would you like me to do? And can you make sure the lens is facing out, please? Otherwise I can't see.
Okay. Can you also do me a favor and disable that nerve agent thing?
Already done. I don't have information on why that was installed.
It doesn't matter. Just keep it battened down, okay?
Phillips clipped the radio cam to his jacket pocket again, not entirely confident that BB wasn't going to malfunction and shoot him full of instant death. Now he realized how little he knew about how BB worked, and how much the AI was limited by whatever hardware he found himself stored in. Could he repair himself? No. That would have been another risky function. As far as BB was concerned, he was behind enemy lines. Phillips had even confirmed it for him. And someone had tried to tamper with him, so he'd pulled the plug and reduced himself to a data pad. The last thing he'd be designed to do would be to restore himself to a windfall of secret information for an enemy. Poor old BB had stripped himself down to name, rank, and serial number. But I can't do that, can I? They can always beat it out of me.
Okay, Phillips whispered. Have you got any databases that can translate Forerunner glyphs?
I have notes from a number of Forerunner sites.
Well, that's good, BB.
Damn, this was painful. It was like dealing with a dementia patient, someone you'd once loved or admired, but who was now barely the same person and didn't even recognize you. He hadn't realized how deep a bond he'd forged with BB. He found himself making reassuring noises in his mind that the real BB, the Matrix, the core of him, was still safe in Port Stanley, and this damaged persona was just a temporary glitch that was no more serious than a bad dream. But the decline still disturbed him.
I want you to record some symbols and try to translate them for me.
Certainly, Professor. Phillips decided to look on the positive side. He didn't have a fully functioning BB to rescue him.